Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Babasha daf Kuf Nun Vav. We left off on daf Kuf Nun Heyam and Beis. We are at Amrav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Ule Edus Eduso Edus. About, I don't know, 7 lines from the end of the page. Last words in the line are Amar Rav. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali Nishmas, his mother, Goldba Simcha Le Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, Hatzacha for our soldiers and our captives, as well as by Moshe Kupiatsky, in honor of Rabbi Jonah Kupiatsky's 90th birthday. Should have many more in good health. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to talk about is yesterday we were speaking about how someone under the age of 20 or 18, Machlokas, is not allowed to sell Nichse Aviv. He's not allowed to sell the Karkaos that his father left him as a Yerusha. So the Gemara is going to discuss, what about other halachos? Can he say Eidos if he's under 20 or 18 when it comes to Karka? Is he able to effectuate a Matana even if he cannot do a Mechira? Then the Gemara is going to talk about a list of halachos that we need to check for Simanim of Gadlus before we can allow the person to partake in to participate in these life cycle events. So I mean, we have to make sure that the person is a gadol, is no longer a katan. And the Gemara is going to explain what the chiddush of each of the items on that list are. Then the Gemara is going to, right before the Mishnah, we're going to close up all of the sugyas that we've been discussing in the last 2 days. Meaning we're going to have five hilchasas, five halachic conclusions on all of the topics that we've been discussing. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to tell us that that even though we've been using the concept a lot over the past couple of prakim of divrei shchiv mera kiksuv nekum surin dami, that when a shchiv mera says something, that's the same as a kinyan for other people. Rabbi Elazar disagrees with that concept. Rabbi Elazar holds that divrei shchiv mera are not kiksuv nekum surin dami, that he needs a kinyan just like anybody else. And in the context of that discussion, the Mishnah is going to talk about some story with the Iman Shel B'nai Rochel, and Rabbi Elazar says something very, very harsh about the B'nai Rochel. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out what did they do that was so terrible that Rabbi Elazar speaks so harshly about these B'nai Rochel. And then right before the Mishnah on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about why we do a Kinyan for a Shchiv Mera on Shabbos. And if a Shchiv Mera says, I want to do a Kinyan, and it happens to be Shabbos, even though we generally shy away from doing Kinyanim on Shabbos, we'll do one for a Shchiv Mera on Shabbos. Is that an indication that the Shchiv Mera actually needs a Kinyan, or is there some reason why we would do one even though he doesn't require a Kinyan? So let's begin again. Last words in our Amar Rav, we're about 7 lines from the end of the page. Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, Ula Eidus, Eduso Eidus. Even though we said that someone who's under the age of 20, who's not Yodea B'tiv Masu Matan, who doesn't have a good business sense, cannot sell Nichse Aviv, that's only by a Mechira. But as far as Eidus, he is believed to be Meyid about that which he saw, that which he heard from the age of 13, as long as he had Shtei Saros, and he's not a Shota. So Amar Zutra Lo Amaran El Metaltali Avla Mekar Koyi Lo. That's only that he could be Meyid Legabe Eidos of Metaltalin, but he cannot say Eidos about things that relate to Karka. That he's not entitled to say Eidos, because if he's not able to be Mochar Karka, then he shouldn't say Eidos on Karka either. Now Tosos and Tosar Rush raise the question, what are you worried about? You're worried that he's going to be Meyid Sheker? If you're worried that he's going to be made Sheker, you should be worried that he's going to be made Sheker about Metaltalin also. It's one thing not to have the requisite das to affect transactions or whatever, but to be made, it's about whether you believe the guy or not. So do you believe him or not believe him? So Tosa says, no, we're not talking about Eidos of Mechiras Karkaos. We're talking about being made about the value of Karka. And since he's young and he's easily enticed by big numbers, so he's going to say, ooh, $1,000, that sounds like a lot of money. And he's going to think that the karka is, he's going to underestimate the true value of the karka. But other Rishonim say differently. They say that he's not neman about Eidos Karkaos at all. Why wouldn't he be made? So the Ritva explains that the chiluk between karka and metaltalin is that since he can make a sale on metaltalin, so he's going to be more precise and careful to get the story right. But by karka, where he has no first-hand experience with, he may get it wrong. Not that we're afraid he's going to lie. We're afraid he's not going to know. He'll confuse the story. He's not going to get it. He's not going to get it straight because he doesn't really have a sense of what's going on when it comes to transactions that relate to karka. Now, that which we say that Pachos Miben Esrim is not able to sell karkaos, that's only by karkaos that he was yoresh from his father. But his own karkaos, according to most Rishonim at least, he's allowed to sell. So why can't he say edus on any karka? Meaning the limitation of his ability to do business with karka is only on karka that he got from his father. That's the way we read it in the Gemara yesterday. So how come we're saying that he can't be made at all on any karka? So the Rosh says, yeah, ena chinami, that according to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that even his own karkaos, he's not able to sell. This works out much better. Meaning, we had that through a machlokas yesterday. What exactly is he not allowed to sell? Any karka he got Yerusha from his father? Any karka he got Yerusha from anyone? Or any karka at all? So if you say like Rabbeinu Tam that he's not allowed to sell any karka at all, this Gemara happens to work out much better. Now I understand why he can't give edus on any karka at all, because he's not allowed to sell any karka at all. It's much more difficult if you assume like the other Rishonim. Okay, so that's what we're saying. As far as edus is concerned, he cannot be made on karka. So Amalei Ravashi Lamarzutra, Ravashi said back to Marzutra, Maisha Metalti Dizvini Zvini, why do we have this chilek, that he's not able to be made on karka, but he is on metaltin? Is it because by metaltin he's able to make a sale, and therefore he could be made, but by karkaos where he's not able to sell, he cannot be made? Elamayat, if that's the equation, that whatever you could sell, you could be made about, whatever you can't sell, you cannot be made about, haditnan, what do we do with the Mishnah Maseches Gittin that talks about younger children, hapaotos, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, that have a basic idea of what's going on in mekach u'memkar, mekach u'memkar, you're going to tell me that the whole thing depends on whether they can make a sale? If they could make a sale effective, then they can be made? So you mean to tell me that a 6 or 7 year old who has the ability, who we were misakin, has the ability to buy and sell things, metaltalin, are going to be able to be made about it? So Amalei, so much just said back to Ravashi, our equation is not incorrect, it's just incomplete. Meaning, in order to be able to be made about karka, about something, you need to be able to sell it. But that's not all that you need. You need another requirement as well. Hasam bi'ina, over there, by edus, you need v'amdu shnei ha'anashim v'leka. When people are 6 or 7 years old, they are not anashim. They are not grown men. Now, the pasuk v'amdu shnei ha'anashim is v'amdu shnei ha'anashim asher le'mariv lifnei Hashem, lifnei ha'konim v'ashoftim asher yu bayam mehem, which pshat in the pasuk sounds like the two balei din, and not the two edim, but the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamed, darshins that it's talking about the Edim. So the term Anashim, the way at least in Torah Shebal Peh we learn it, is a reference to Edim and not to the Balei Din. So we see that the Edim need to be adults. They cannot be 6 or 7 year olds. Okay, that's as far as Edus for someone who's under the age of 20 or under the age of 18. So Amar Amemar, Amemar says, Umatanasa Matana. If he, once a person is bar mitzvah and he has Simani Gadlus, even though he's not an expert in Masa Umatan and he cannot sell karka that he yarshin from his father, any matana that he gives is a binding matana. Amalei Ravashi la memra. So Ravashi said to memra, wait a second, shouldn't we have a kavu chomer? Hashta umaz, we need the mekavu zuzi amr to lo. When it comes to a mechira, which is something that requires some level of chachma, because you're getting something for that which you're giving, and you have to be able to assess the value of each one. So we said that the chacham were misakin that he's not able to sell dilma mozel mezabin, because we're afraid that he's going to sell it for too cheap. Cheap, and he's not going to have full das. So kolshkein matana. So then I would think kolshkein the chum should be misakin that he shouldn't be able to give away his father's nechasim as a matana to lo mati lev lo midi, because he's not getting anything in exchange for it. So it's mamisha derech shtus. Meaning, if even when he's getting something and it required some level of chachma to figure out, is this worth that? Is it? Am I getting a good deal over here? So there was some chachma involved, and still we say not enough chachma that it's not. But a matana, he's getting nothing. It could be that he's just he's just crazy, that he's just gonna be ma'abid kol mashenosinla, right? That's the definition of a shota. When you donate a kidney, they do a psych eval on you first. Why do they do a psych eval? Because they're afraid you're a nut. They're afraid that tomorrow you're gonna go in and say, I'd like to donate my brain, and I'd like to so they want to make sure that you're a normal person, right? Because when a person just gives things away, the people are always a little suspicious that maybe something's wrong with the guy. So with this child, if he's just giving things away, so I would think kal v'chomer we should make a takana that he cannot do it. So Amemer said back to Rav Ashi, ul tameich, according to you, that that it's all telling on whether there's a profit from it or a loss from it. Zabin Shavi Chamisha Beshita, if let's say he sells karka that's worth $500,000 for $600,000, where he's making a good amount of money on it, Hachinami Zvini Zvini, are you going to say that it's going to be a binding sale? No, we don't say that. I mean, even if he ends up getting a really great deal, someone gives him an offer he can't refuse for the karka, we still say he's not allowed to sell the karka of his father. Why? Ela Kimlu Rabbanu Diyanuka Mikra V'dayti Gabi Zuzay. The Rabbanu have this general chazaka that children become very enamored with money. You jingle some money in front of them and they get very excited. V'yam Zvini Zvini. If we're going to say that he's able to sell his father's karkos, Zimna D'Makash Kishi Le Zuzay, you'll jingle some money in front of him. V'azum Azmi L'Kuli Nichsi Davu. And he'll go and he'll sell everything that belonged to his father. And that's why Chazal had to step in and say, no, his mechira is not valid. Aval gabe matana di lav avalei anamine. But by a matana, had he not had some benefit from the person to whom he's giving this matana, lo have a yavle matana, he never would have given such a matana, because there's no money being dangled in front of his face. There's nothing that's being shown to him that's going to be shiny and exciting to him. No, there must be some real meaningful give and take over here. He must have gotten something from this person. So Rabban, and Rabban said, "Have matanas and matana to love the luhumili." That the matana will be good, and that way people will do chesed with this guy, with this kid, and take care of him in general. So the matana therefore is in fact a binding matana. Another reason the Rambam writes in Luchos Mechira why we leave the matana with the ikar adin that he has the ability to give a matana is because it's not something so common that a person is going to give a matana. And so the chacham are only going to be misakein when there's a milsa d'shchicha, when there's some sort of common concern that might come up a lot. How often are people giving away karkos as matana? So they're not going to go and make takanos on things that don't come up so often. Rav Shechter often points out that it's not just milsa d'shchicha l'gozbe rabbanon probably doesn't just mean that they chose not to make gezeros and takanos for things that are not so common. It probably means they are not authorized to make gzeros and takanos for things that are not so common. To make a gzera takana, to add on to that which it says in the Torah, should be baltosif, right? Elamai, asusiyag l'Torah. They have the permission to make a fence around the Torah to protect the Torah. But if it's not a good enough reason to need to, if the Torah doesn't need protection in that area, if there's no need for a takana, no tremendous need for a gzera, then it's vaiter baltosif. It goes back to being baltosif. They're not allowed to just do those things. So if it's a milsa shchicha, that's what the Rambam says. That's why the chum were not misakein that his matana is invalid. So now the Gemara says Gemara tells us about various halachas for which we need to be bodek that the person is in fact a gadol. Amar of Nachum Nomer Shmuel, let's say a man comes to be mekadesh and isha, or a girl comes for her own wedding, so we don't say that since they're already 12, 13 years old, some stomach they have shtei sa'aros, and therefore they can get married. No, botkin l'kiddushin. We have to check to see that there's shtei sa'aros, to make sure that they're gedolim, in order that there's a vaday kiddushin, and therefore to know that if someone else were to come and be mekadisher, that the kiddushin would be invalid. Now the din is that in order to be considered a gadol, you need to be 13 years old or a girl 12 years old, and to have shtei saros b'zakana tachton in the pubic area. So Maseches Nida on Daf Mem Vav, Daf Mem Ches, it says that a katan or a katana that's already at the age, there's a chazaka that they have shtei saros, and therefore they're considered to be gedolim. That chazaka is known throughout Shas as chazaka de Rava. That Rava's chazaka, that if a child is of age, we assume they have shtei saros. However, the post can point out the Magen Avraham in Aruch Chaim Simen Nun Hei Sivkat and Zayin in the Mishnah Berurah over there, Sivkat and Lamed Aleph, that it's only by dinim de Rabbanon that we're somech on the chazaka de Rava, and we do not require a bedika. But when it comes to dine Torah, we are not somech on the chazaka de Rava, and for when it comes to Doraisas, we need to actually examined to make sure that they have shtei saras that they're a gadol. That's why many shuls will not allow a katan to lein parsha zachar, will not allow a bar mitzvah boy rather to lein parsha zachar, because zachar is min haTorah. So to rely on chazaka derava that he has shtei saros, they're not so excited to do that for a din da'oraisa. Now from Tosos and Nida, it seems that the chazaka derava is a real full fledged chazaka that really should have worked for da'oraisas as well. The reason we don't rely on it for da'oraisas, the poskim explained, the Taz explains in Eben Ezer, is because since it's efshel levarer, we have a responsibility to be mevarer. Now ad masai, until when are we going to be mevarer? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Eben Ezer, till it's obvious, meaning when the kid has a beard that, you know, so obviously he's got shtei saros, right? You don't have to worry when it's nismali zukano that he doesn't have shtei saros. So the same by a girl when she looks like she's physically mature, so then you don't have to be examining anymore. So for kiddushin, we need to make sure that they're a gadol. Legerishin, if they come to be megarish, we have to be bodik for simanim. Machlokas rishonim before the gerishin happens. So Tosus writes, you don't have to be bodik. Tosus writes, you don't have to be bodik before the kiddushin, because even if he was a katan, his kiddushin is invalid. It's not so much of a chashash by the kiddushin. However, once she accepts kiddushin from somebody else, that's when we're going to need to go back and be bodek about the kiddushin that was done originally, because we have to make sure that the kiddushin with the second person is not a valid kiddushin. The Rambam, however, in Hilchos Ishos Parak Yud Aleph, again going back on the kiddushin issue, says no. At the time of the wedding, we have to be bodek. Not like Tosfos says that we're going to be bodek whenever it matters, which is some later time when someone else tries to be mekadesh. That could be 6 months later, and so what? You're going to find shtei saros now. Does that tell you that there were shtei saros then? So Tosfos says, yeah, probably whatever it is now was then. So the Rambam says, no, you want to check before the marriage itself. Now Tosfos writes, as far as the gerushin is concerned, in Dibur Maskul Chalitza, that were bodik both the man and the woman. So the Rashash just wonders, legabe gitin, you shouldn't have to be bodik the isha, because even a katana is yicholu liskarish. You don't need dasa isha to be miskarish. A woman can be miskarish as bal karcha. So you don't need das on her side of the equation. Even a katana could be Megureshes. So it's a little bit strange that Tosfos writes that you need to check both the man and the woman when it comes to Gerishin. Ula Chalitza, when a Yavam and a Yavama come to do a Chalitza, we have to be bodek that they're Hevi Shtei Saros. Ula Me'unin, and when it's a 12-year-old that wants to be Memayin, we have to be bodek her. If she doesn't have a Shtei Saros, she's still a Katana, and she could still be Memayin. Ula Imkor B'nichsei Aviv, and also when it comes to selling Karkaos, that a person was Yorish from his father, Achie Ben Esrim, that not only does he need shtei saros, he also needs to be 20 years old. That's the halacha we've been discussing for the past couple of days. So the Gemara asks, "Kimin de bedikna lekiddushin legerushin lamali?" If we have to examine the person before kiddushin, why would you have to examine them again before gerushin? I mean, in order to do a gerushin, they had to have had a kiddushin. So obviously, they, right? Even though in the order of shas, gittin comes before kiddushin, in the order of life, kiddushin comes before gerushin. So if there's going to be a gerushin, there must have already been a kiddushin. So they already went through the examination. So you can examine again to see that they're a gadol. They were a gadol a year ago. They're a gadol now. So lo nitzcha el yibum. Now the case is they didn't have a kiddushin. The case where you're examining for the gerushin is that they got married through yibum. Well, you didn't need a ma'aseh kiddushin. You could be 9 years old and affect a yibum, but you cannot get divorced until you're an actual gadol. So l'chalitza, then we said you have to check for chalitza. So la'afuke, what's the chiddush of that? La'afuke mid Rabbi Yossi. Da amar ish kasim parsha. That's to tell me not like what Rabbi Yossi said, who said that a katan cannot do chalitza because it says ish in the parsha. It says v'im lo yachbos ha'ish l'kachas es yivimto, and a katan is not called an ish, aval isha, but by a woman where there's no explicit indication in the Torah, bein gedola, bein katana. Even if she's a katana, she could participate in a chalitza. So kamash shmulan, that's why Shmuel wanted to tell me, no, to makshino nisha l'ish. We make a hekesh between isha and ish. It says, v'im lo yachbo to ish l'kach, it says, yivimto, aval yivimto ashara. So we learn that dine chalitza, just like you need an ish to be a gadol v'lo katan, yivimto also needs to be a gadol v'lo katan. Because ish and yivimto are in the same pasuk, dilok Rabbi Yossi, to tell me against Rabbi Yossi. So the chiddush about chalitza is not that the guy has to be a gadol. That's a pasuk. The chiddush about chalitza is that the girl needs to be a gadolah. L'meyunin, and what are we teaching me when we say that we examine the girl for miyun purposes? La'fukim to Rabbi Yehuda, to tell me against Rabbi Yehuda, da'amar, because Rabbi Yehuda says in Maseches Nida that a woman could be mema'in even after she has shtei saros, ad shir b'shachar, as until it becomes much more hair filled in that area, that kamash melon. So that's why Shmuel tells me, no, you need to be bodik for shtei saros, and if she has shtei saros, she's too old to do miyun. Miyun has to be done while she is still a ketana. Delok, Rabbi Yehuda, against Rabbi Yehuda. V'limkar b'nichsei avivachei ben esrim, lafuke mandiyav, ben shron esrei. And what's he telling me when he says you need to be 20 years old to sell nichsei aviv? To tell me, not like the shita that we had in yesterday's daf, that said you only need to be 18 years old to sell nichsei aviv. Okay, so now we close up all the different sugyas that we've been discussing. So five halachos. V'ilchsa, toksman, kilufnei zman. We had a machlokas in yesterday's daf. If a nar is able to sell nichsei aviv only when he's 20 years old or when he's into his 20th year. So tovzman kilufnei zman, when he's in his 20th year, that's not old enough yet. He's got to be full 20 years old. Vilchsa kigidol bar menashe. Second thing is that Gidol bar menashe asked Rava and he responded to him that if a child is very precocious and he knows masa umatan, that he could sell karkos that he yarshin from his father from the age of 13 and he has shtei saros, you don't need to wait till he's 20. We paskin that as well. Vilchsa kumar zutra. What we said in yesterday's daf that someone who's less than 20 years old and he doesn't know masa umatan, he's not, well, we started today's shir with it, but it's in yesterday's daf, he's not allowed to be made on karkaos, and he can be made only on mitaltalin. Vilchsa meimar. The second thing we said in today's shir, that someone who's under 20 years old doesn't know masa umatan, even though he's not able to sell karka, but he could give karka as a matana. It works as a matana. And finally, vilchsa kram nachman rav shmuel bekulu, all the things rav nachman rav shmuel said, that we need to be bodek for, we indeed need to be bodek for those halachos to make sure that they are gadol or a gadola, or in the case of miyun, to make sure that she's not a gadola, to make sure that she is a ketana. Okay, so now we begin a new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, if a person is just verbally giving things away, no ksiva, no kinyin, no, just saying things, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Echod bari ve'echod mesukan. Rabbi Lazar says, I don't care whether he's a bari or a mesukan. The girsa over here is Rabbi Elazar, the way we have it, not Rabbi Eliezer. And this is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. In the Mishnah on Amud Beis, we're going to have Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Tosus points out. So Tosus brings a bunch of rayas that it must be that way. In Rabbeinu Gershom, it says in both Mishnayos, Rabbi Eliezer, and that's what it sounds like from the Adrama as well. But Tosus insists that over here it's Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. So it's Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, Echad Bari Vechad Mesukan, whether he's a healthy person or whether he's a Shchiv Mera, all he's doing is he's saying words? That's not a Kenyan. No, the way to make things work is Nechashim Sheesh L'Narchayas Niknim B'Kesef Shar B'Chazaka. If you want to be Makna Karka to somebody, you need Kesef Shar B'Chazaka. She'en L'Machrayas Ein L'Knin El M'Mshicha. You want to be Makna Metaltlin to somebody, so do Achnas L'Rishusa M'Mshicha, a real bona fide form of kinyan. The Rashbam writes that since Rabbi Lazar is not mechalik between a shchivmer and a bari legabe the type of kinyan, right? There are two halachos we kept on referring to. Two halachos that distinguish a shchivmera from a bari. One is divrei shchivmera kiksuv lekumsurin dami. That's what Rabbi Lazar is explicitly taking issue with, and he's saying no, divrei shchivmera does nothing. And the second is imam ad chozer, that if he's a shchivmera and he gets better, so then the sale is invalidated and he gets it back. Or the matan is invalidated and he gets it back. As opposed to a bari, it's a permanent gift. Rabbi Lazar doesn't explicitly argue on the second part, only on the first part. So the Rashbam says, yeah, but Rabbi Lazar is giving you the impression that there are no special rules for a shchiv mirah. And therefore, if he argues on the din of divrei shchiv mirah, he probably argues on the other din as well. So Pnei Shlomo just wonders, what's the shaychus from one to the other? I mean, the reason that if he's amad chozer is because we assume he didn't have das that to give this stuff away if he's still going to be around. That could be true even if you're going to allow, if you're not going to allow for shortcuts in terms of a darkei akinyanim. So what does one have to do with the other? But that's the way the Rashbam learns, that the two are linked with each other. So Amrulo, the Chum said to Rabbi Lazar, how could you say that a shchiv mira is not able to be makna things with dibor alone? Don't you know, Maisa bi'iman shal b'nei rochel, the story with the mother of the b'nei rochel, Shai Sechola, that she was dying, v'amra tnu kivinyasi the biti, and she said, give my brooch to my daughter, vihi b'shneimas mana, and it happened to be very beautiful and very expensive and worth 1,200 zuz, umesa, and the woman died, v'kimas mera, and they did exactly as she said. So apparently, matna shchiv mera works. All she did was amra, she said, and we didn't allow it to go to the arshim. It went straight to the daughter because that's who she said it should go to. So amr lehen b'nei rochel tikbrei miman. So Rabbi Elazar said, yeah, that was a punishment for the Yorshim. That wasn't because that's the halacha. That was a punishment for the Yorshim because they're terrible people, meaning they're deserving of dying a young death. And therefore, even though that kinyan has no business working, the Chacham made a kenas to take away the Yerusha from them shalok adin, and Chacham have the right to do that. There's something called Hefker Beis Din Hefker. That's how the Rashbam reads this line. Rashi in Maseches Gittin on Daf Tes Vav says a little differently. He says that Rabbi Elazar, when he says Bnei Rochel Tikbrei Mimam, was trying to say that since they were Rishayim, they were not mentioned in the Beis Medrash, and people didn't carefully say over exactly what happened. So you tell me a Maisa with the Bnei Rochel, no one knows what the Maisa is about the Bnei Rochel because no one likes to talk about the Bnei Rochel in the Beis Medrash because they're such terrible people. So we can't bring any stories because we don't know the accuracy of any of those stories. That's how Rashi seems to learn that line in the Mishnah. Okay, so Tanya, so the Braisa brings that Reb Elazar has a raya to his shita that Divrei Shchiv Mera are not kiksuvnu k'msurin dami. Amrlan Rabbi Elazar Chacham, Rabbi Elazar said to the Chachamim that Maisa b'Meroni Echa, there was a story with this guy from Meron, Shaya b'Yerushalayim, that was in Yerushalayim, v'yamatatel in Harbe, and he had a lot of matatel v'bikesh v'matana, and he wanted to distribute it as matana. Amrlo, so the Chacham said to him, ein lem takana ad sheikna al gava karka. The only way you're going to be able to be makna to people is if you're makna karka to people, and then agav the karka, they'll be kona the matatel as well. So what did he do? He didn't have any karka. So halach v'lach, he went and he bought one really lousy piece of karka, a very tiny lousy piece of karka that he was able to get very cheap near Yerushalayim. Now even lousy pieces of karka you can't get for cheap near Yerushalayim, but he got this a rocky piece of land, you can't plant in it, you can't do anything with it, but he just needed something to be able to have to serve as a mechanism for the Kinyan Agav. So Va'amar, and he said Svono Leploni, that the northern part of this little piece of land belongs to Ploni, v'imo me'atzon me'achavios, and together with it he's getting 100 sheep and 100 barrels of wine. Udromo, the southern part of this piece of land, the Ploni, belongs to so-and-so, v'imo me'atzon me'achavios. And then he died in the Chamur Mekayim what he said. So why couldn't he just say that I'm giving me'atzon me'achavios? Why did he have to do a kinyan on karka with an agav and that? Just say it. Elamai divrei shchiv mera are not kiksuv nekum surin dami. And apparently this guy was a shchiv mera. So Amalad Chacham said back to Rabbi Elazar, Misham Raya, Meroni Bari Haya. Who said he was a shchiv mera? Meaning Rabbi Elazar's all Raya was, because the end of the story was that he died, so probably he was a shchiv mera. So Chacham said, you got the story wrong. Everyone dies eventually, but at the time that he did it, he was a Bari. He was not a shchiv mera at the time of this story. The Rishonim point out over here that the idea that he had to identify Tzvono, Dromo, the Adramah, the Ran, both point out that for a Kinyan Agav, you don't need to identify which area of Karka you're giving to the person. You could just say, I'm being Maknehim, a Tefach of Karka. You don't have to say which Karka. But over here, since he was giving some of it to one person, some of it to another person, and he didn't want them fighting over which part of that Karka they got, so he was more specific. However, the Rimigasha Shita is that you do need to identify, and this Gemara is the Raya, because why else would he say Tzvono Dromo? Okay, so the Mishnah then said, Amr Lahen, Rabbi Elazar said back to them, Bnei Rochel Tikbrei Miman. The Bnei Rochel are terrible people. They should predecease their mother. So my time of Kalaitlu, why did he curse the Bnei Rochel? What did they do? So terrible. So Amr Rabbi Yomer Shmuel, Mekai Mikotzim Mekerim Hayu. They used to leave thorns growing in their vineyards. So just like you're not allowed to plant vegetables or grain in a vineyard because it's Nisr of Kilei Akerim, it's also usher to keep those things in your vineyard. And Rabbi Elazar held that it's even also to keep thorns in your vineyard. So, and this is what they would do. So for Rabbi Eliezer the Taimei, Rabbi Elazar should probably be the gear on the side, right? Because it's, again, according to Tosos, it's Rabbi Elazar is the person over here. So for Rabbi Elazar the Taimei, this is Rabbi Elazar the Shitaso. Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Maseches Klayim, Hamakayim Kotzim Bekerem, if a person leaves thorns in his vineyard, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says that's an nisra of klayim. And therefore, if after you know that there are thorns there, the grapes continue to grow, and they grow up to 1/200th of their size beyond what they were at the time that you found out that there are thorns there, kidesh, right? I mean, the way kilei hakerem works is that as soon as you're aware of it, that's where the isra starts, and it becomes batel in 1/200. So if it grows from the point of your awareness to more than 1/200th of its growth, it now is no longer batel, and the whole thing becomes asubana. The term that we use is kidesh, because the pasuk says lo tizra karmach klein pentikta shamlei azara asher tizra utvas hakerem. So Chazal darshan pentiktash pentukad esh, that it becomes asubana, it needs to be burnt in a fire. So Chazal used the term kidesh when they describe kilei hakerem, because that's the term the Torah uses in describing the isra ana'a of kilei hakerem. The chamomrim lo kidesh. Cham say that no, that does not become kilei hakerem, it does not become asubana. Ela davar shekamo mekayim. The only thing that would become asubana is the kind of thing that people would be mekayim, that people would leave there. But thorns are things that people would always want to uproot. It's not, no one says, oh, I have this magnificent field, I have this magnificent orchard, it's growing grapes and thorns. No one wants thorns. If it were growing grapes and grain, then you might show off about it, right? That's something that people might be interested in keeping. Some Rabbi Chanina, my time is Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Elazar think that thorns do count as klayim? Meaning, after all, isn't this a good point that no one is mekayim thorns in their vineyard? So shekein ba'aravya mekayim kotsim besadlus legmalehen. Now, the reason that it matters is because the reason why people might want to have thorns in their vineyard is because in Arabia, people have camels, and camels eat thorns, and therefore people need to have thorns there. So it is a crop that someone would grow. Now, the Ritva points out over here a very sophistic concept, and that is, you know, when something is not done anywhere except for one place. So when do we assume that, oh, since it happens in that place, the halacha is going to now apply everywhere. The halacha is going to change forever. So this is going to be klayim for everywhere. When do we assume that butla daita mitzel das kaladam? The whole rest of the world doesn't behave that way. So this place we just look at as a bunch of meshugayim, and their das doesn't count for anything. And when do we say it's makom dependent, right? It depends where you are. In a place where this is normal, it's normal. In a place where it's not. So the Ritva gives examples of all three from throughout Shas. In Shabbos Daf Sadi Beis, it's Batal Daita Mitzel Das Kaladam. And in Erevin Daf Chav Ches and Kiddushin Daf Vav, it's all totally on where you are. And over here we say that the whole world follows Aravia. So says the Ritva, there are three types of situations. If the minug of the miut is a minug meshuna, it's against the teva ha'olam, it's against nature, so then batla daita mitzel das kaladam. That what these people are doing is insane, it doesn't make any sense, so then we say batla daita mitzel das kaladam. If it's not a meshuna dika minug, but the world, not everyone does this way, but so then we're not going to say batla daita. It's not something that's crazy, it's not something that's objectively wrong, it's just a different way of dressing, a different way of, so every place has their own thing, so what they do in that place is what they do there. But over here by Aravia, says the Ritva, anyone who had camels would want to grow thorns. It's just that not every place has camels. So it's not just not crazy, and it's not just that, oh, it's something they choose to do while others would choose not to do it. Anyone in their situation would choose to do it. So then we say, oh, so that becomes a normal crop, and therefore it's going to be subject to klayim. So Amar Rabbi Levi says, Konin kinyan mishchivmira afilu b'shabbos. So going back to this din of shchivmira, we can make a kinyan for a shchivmira who wants to be makne his nechasim even on Shabbos, even though we generally don't do kinyanim on Shabbos. But we do a kinyan sudar in order to effect such a kinyan on Shabbos. You see that there's no iser to give a matana on Shabbos with the kinyan sudar, because dafka kinyan sudar is domel mekach chumemkar, where a person gives a sudar, a person gives an object as meaning the whole iser is only by kinyan sudar, because that's what the Rashbam writes over here, that since he's giving a sudar and he's getting an object in back in exchange, it's domel mekach chumemkar. So it's dafka by a sudar that it's a chiddush to tell me that we're going to do such a kinyan. So what's clear from the Rashbam though is that it's only when there are things being being handed in both directions, that it's Doma Lemekach Memkar, which makes it sound like a Matana is not a problem, and the Kinyan is therefore going to be Mutter when it comes to a Matana. And that's the Shita of Rav Shlomo Levilna in Tshuva's Binyan Shlomo. The Beis Yosef seems to say that way as well, others disagree. But you know, the discussion that they have about giving a bar mitzvah gift or something like that, what are the heterim? So one of the heterim is it might not be Aser in the first place, because a Kinyan may only be Aser if it's Derech Mekach Memkar. But then we add other heterim, Tzarech Mitzvah, and maybe we're kind of on his behalf before Shav, things like that. But why is it that we allow for the Shchimra to do a Kinyan on Shabbos? V'lo lachosh l'divrei Rabbi Elazar. It's not because we want to be choshish for the Shita of Rabbi Elazar that a Shchimra does not have the capacity, does not have the ability to do a Kinyan with Amira alone, meaning even though he could just say words and the Kinyan would be effective, we still allow the Kinyan on Shabbos because he got in his head that he wants to do a Kinyan. And if he's a Shchiv Mirah and he has something in his head, then you need to do it, because every moment of it, you're gonna take away moments from his life by aggravating him, and that's Pikuach Nefesh. So you're not allowed to do that. Okay, we're going to stop early because I am supposed to be in Teaneck in like 15 minutes, so have a great day everyone, and